ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, we welcome everyone to the Sunday Feast program. We'll discuss a very important but probably something that is considered very simple, but this is very timely and very important for us to discuss. We'll discuss something about the guru-disciple relationship. Not a very attractive topic in one sense, but healthy for our spiritual development, especially in today's times. Today is a time of motivational talks and self-help books, so everyone wants to search for his own path. You don't even have to search for your own path, you make your own path. Whatever you do is right, whatever I do is right. Even young boys, they want to be trendsetters. I know so many young boys who have their own hashtags. You know, it's a hashtag. And just like great speakers, great thinkers, sometimes they come up with their own sentences and they spread it amongst some people, and then people feel, this is a good guideline, this is a good sentence. So I know young boys at the age of 20-25, you know, they take some sentences from here, some sentences from there, a few words from here, a few catchy phrases from there, mix it up and make a nice little impressive sentence and spread it, and they'll add their name to it. So basically today's times are where, you know, somebody who is at the age of 20-22 has a smartphone, has his own Twitter account, has his own YouTube channel, posts 2-minute videos every day. So he's almost a guru. Or at least he thinks he is. So even before becoming a disciple, even before becoming a good follower, we end up having followers. They may be pretentious. They may be fooling us. But at least there is this huge feeling today amongst youngsters that I don't need to follow anybody. I can create a trend. Sometime back, you know, we had gone for a small trip and then we had some young boys with us. And then after the end of the trip, we were requesting all those young boys, college students, to speak a few words about how they liked the trip. So a few honest ones, they spoke, what did they like about the trip, what impact it had on them. And then one young boy, you know, he's in this mood always. You ask him to speak a few sentences and he starts with some, in Hindi it's called shayari, some small poem, very impressive. And then he'll speak a few lines borrowed from some people and he'll also end with some poem. Basically, he is somebody who is hungry for a lot of attention. So here I am asking for feedback of that trip, of that yatra. And he started off, that young boy, you know, he is like 22 years old. And he started off with some small Urdu shayari. So I'm looking at him, you know, I just want some honest feedback of the yatra. But then, you know, the tendency is there to always impress, to always show off, to always give an impression how I know everything. Just yesterday I was having a conversation with one devotee, nice person. And then, you know, he was saying, I have been chanting for some time, I have been reading the Gita also for some time. And one thing I can understand is there are some divine qualities, there are some good qualities. And he mentioned one of them is tolerance. So he asked me, is tolerance good? I didn't answer, because I knew what was coming. After some time you understand what's going to come now. So he said, as far as the Gita mentions, Titikshiva, it mentions that tolerance, simplicity, humility, all these are good qualities. So he told me, at one point of time I was so tolerant, even in my office, in my personal relationships. He said, some of my friends would call me a saint. May not be by external appearance, but he said, at least as far as my qualities are concerned, all my friends would unanimously agree. Arey, tu to ek sadhu jaisa hi hai. You're a saint. I said, okay. Then he said, you know, he had a marriage, he entered into a marital relationship, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes it happens. You get cheated. So without going into the details, he got cheated. So then he was telling me, you know, as per the Gita, tolerance is a good quality. And I kept on tolerating. He could see a lot of things. It is said love is blind. So it makes you blind to the limitations or some black spots of someone you love. And many times it is said love is blind, also to indicate that when you fall into that kind of love, which makes you blind, you are infatuated, probably not based on the real understanding of love, but you get just overwhelmed by somebody's physical appearance. Not only you become blind to that person's faults, but you also become blind to your responsibilities, you become blind to your position in the big world, how to interact with the world. So you, typically, when youngsters fall into love, their friends or their parents, they will tell them, why do you appear so lost nowadays? In Hindi they say, thode aap khoye khoye lagte hain. Something's wrong with you. So that's why it is said, love makes you blind. So this person said, you know, in one sense it happened with me also. So I could see certain things and I should have questioned them. I should have asked why this is so. But then I did not. It's tolerant. It's practicing saintly qualities as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, you know, it went beyond a particular limit. And now the relationship is broken. Not only the relationship is broken, he's also broken. He's feeling pain. So then he was saying, you know, on one side the Bhagavad Gita is saying that tolerance is a good quality, is a good virtue, and we should practice tolerance. But then when I practice tolerance in today's times, It seems it is not a good advice. It's not a proper thing to do. Probably I should have asked questions straight into that person's face, right when the first time things went wrong. So if somebody asks you this question, humility, the Gita says, it's a good quality. But if you practice humility in your office, with your boss, with your friends outside, what happens? Many people keep asking this question, is it not? Prabhuji, I want a practical answer. This is to indicate in a soft way that the Bhagavad Gita is impractical. So, yes, we do read shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita and we do read all these concepts. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, all these are good qualities. But does the Bhagavad Gita also mention about reading the text of the Gita as it is? Or does the Bhagavad Gita also mention, please ask somebody about what is the meaning of these shlokas? Please have a spiritual guide in your life. Does the Bhagavad Gita mention it anywhere? If you have actually read the Gita, then you will come across one shloka where Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Jagat Guru, the source of all knowledge, he is speaking to his dear disciple Arjun. So now what more do you want? Here is the perfect disciple in his perfect eagerness in a very difficult situation. It is said, unless you have an appetite, even if you have a good meal in front of you, you can't eat it, you can't digest it, you can't benefit from it. So similarly, it is said, somebody, when will he benefit from guidance? When he needs it the most. Difficult situation. All doors are closed. Where to knock? Was Arjun in such a situation? Yes. All his good qualities, all that is considered to be achievable by all of us, he already had. But in that difficult situation, so here is a perfect disciple, eager to listen, and here is the source of all knowledge, Krishna. What more could you want? Yes. So now, no transmission loss. He'll speak the most perfect, pristine, uncontaminated knowledge. And here is a person who's saying, please, tell me. I need some hope in my life. And in between this perfect disciple and perfect source interaction, there is one shloka where Krishna says, we have it on the slide later, but just for the sake of discussion here, he says, just try to realize knowledge from a self-realized soul. Tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. So the point that I'm making is, we would expect, if Krishna is speaking to his dearmost devotee, and they both have a very loving relationship with each other, this is going to be the perfect conversation of all conversations. This is where the solutions to all our problems lie. And in between all that, the source of all knowledge, Krishna, tells Arjun, you should go and approach a third person. And you speak to him and you ask him questions. And because he has seen the truth, he will tell you what is good for you. He will tell you what is right for you. In the recent Jagannath Puri Kartik Yatra, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, the first class that he spoke, in the first 10-15 minutes he spoke this. He was saying how the Supreme Lord wants all of us to be happy. He said, Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. So that is the message of Lord Ramchandra, how to be happy genuinely. This is the message of Lord Krishna, how to be happy genuinely. And then he said, because we have come to Puri, we'll discuss about Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach us? He is teaching us how to be happy as per the definition of Lord Ramchandra and Lord Krishna. And then he said, but when Lord Chaitanya will tell us something, you should do this, you should do this, it's not going to be easy. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, Lord Chaitanya just gave us 8 instructions, just 8 shlokas. His followers have written many books, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just 8 shlokas. And he said the shortest one of that shloka is the third shloka. Trinadapi sunichena, taror iva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. That one should be more humbler than a straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree. One should never be eager to accept respect, but one should be eager to offer respects. In such a humble state of mind, we can chant the holy names always. And then Maharaj said, this is the shortest shloka, but this is a lifetime project. This shloka, to actually practice, is going to take a long, long time. So if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here to give us a process, as per the directions of Lord Krishna, as per the directions of Lord Ramchandra, to be happy, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tapasya. It's going to be difficulty. And then he said, an inherent part of tapasya is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. What does it mean? He's saying, when we hear the word tapasya, it makes us a little uncomfortable. We feel probably now I'll have to stand in the sun. Probably now I have to immerse myself in very cold water. Probably it's about starving. Tomorrow is Ekadashi. So maybe I'm not supposed to eat. So our definition of tapasya, our definition of enjoyment is always, because we are on the bodily platform. So what is tapasya for us? Tapasya on the bodily platform. Tolerate heat, tolerate cold, don't eat, stand for a long time, and so on. And if I mention the word enjoyment, what is enjoyment for most of us? Because we are on the bodily platform, we feel enjoyment must be something good for the body. Maybe there is a big feast waiting for me out there. Maybe some good movie is going to be played here. Enjoyment for the body. But when spiritually oriented people, they talk about enjoyment, they talk about spiritual enjoyment. And when they talk about tapasya, they talk about spiritual tapasya. So what is tapasya? His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained, it is to keep choosing what is favorable for our spiritual development. To always make wise choices. Life is full of choices, is it not? Everywhere you go, there are these two roads. Should I do this? Should I do that? And many of us don't know what is right. So what happens is, we go by our past experiences, which may be misleading. We sometimes end up asking our friends, who also may not be wise. And after getting beaten up 100 times, then we sometimes become morose. We say, ये दुनिया ना कुछ काम की नहीं है, सब लोग रो रहे हैं, something like that. And if once in a while we come across some good choices and we took the right turn, we end up becoming so enjoyment, you know, we tend to enjoy it so much that we forget to learn lessons from it. So either you take a wrong turn and you become morose, or you take a right turn and you enjoy so much, you forget on what basis did I make that right turn, or on what basis did I take the wrong turn, and then how to use that knowledge for the further choices. Is it not? So life is full of choices. And tapasya, as defined by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, was to keep making the right choices again and again in the face of temptations. There will be temptations from outside, there will be temptations from within. Always keep taking the right track. Always keep making the right decisions. So, in the context of today's discussion, why are we quoting this here? Is that when we read tolerance is a divine quality, and we say, okay, from today onwards I'm going to be tolerant. But how much tolerance is good tolerance? What if you are out on the street, you come outside the temple, and some gunda, some ruffian comes there, and he's abusing somebody next to you. And your heart is saying, save that person. See, he's my friend. And that time your intelligence, you know, it pops up a Gita shloka. No, tolerance is good. And then you decide, the Gita is saying tolerance is good. My heart is saying I should save. What to do? So I asked that person after this conversation, I asked him a question just yesterday night. I asked him, is sugar good? He said, yes, it enhances the taste of any sweet. I said, how much is good? What if there is too much sweet? Causes diabetes. What if it is too less sweet? The sweet is not sweet only. I asked him, is salt good? Yes, without salt, you can't even eat. It is tasteless. What if you put more salt? You can't even swallow it. Is chili good? Is spices good? What if you don't put any spices? What if you don't put any chili? People say, ye kya hai ye? You know, is it boiled grass or something? And if you put too much chili, you get stomach indigestion. You get ulcers in the stomach. So salt, sugar, chili, how much is right? Anyone of you tried cooking any time? Somebody asks you to make halwa. How much sugar will you put? Should you put this much? Should you put this much? Are you ready to experiment? So anybody who's ever tried cooking, he knows either you refer to a good cookbook and you understand for 1 kg of rava, this much quantity of sugar. Roughly it is 700 grams of sugar for 1 kg of rava. That's how much it takes. How much salt to take? You know, if you're cooking a sabji, you're cooking 1 kilogram of sabji, cauliflower sabji. How much salt to take? If you experiment, it will be a disastrous experience. For you, for others. And if you are a devotee who is going to offer it to Krishna, it's a horrifying experience for Krishna also. But good cook will always refer to a cookbook or will ask somebody. Is it not? Similarly for tolerance. How much tolerance is good tolerance? Ask somebody. Don't take chances. Don't experiment with yourself and get beaten up. How much humility is good humility? Ask your spiritual guide. Get somebody to guide you. It's not just enough to open the Gita, go to any chapter, open any shloka and have pride. Dekho, main to Gita directly padhta hun aur Gita mein jo likha hai, wo apne jeevan mein tatkshan lagu karta hun. Immediately, as soon as I read tolerance is good, I applied tolerance. But cheated. I got beaten up. So that's why, even though in today's times, there is so much emphasis on self-exploration, self-help, trying to do things on yourself. But the Gita, the Supreme Lord is advising his friend Arjun, don't depend on your self-help, don't depend on your self-exploratory skills, go and approach somebody. So, who do we need a guru in fact? Do we need a guru? For driving a car, to learn driving a car, we join a motor driving school. Even to ride a bicycle, we need somebody to help us. For cooking, we just discussed, we need somebody's help. If you have spectacles, I am having a spectacles myself. If you need spectacles, it's your eyes, is it not? And you can't see properly, but you go to an optician and then he inspects your eyes and then he says, you need these number, this and this, you need these kind of spectacles, you need, and then only you will be able to see clearly. So to see, we need somebody's help. To eat properly, we need somebody's help. To drive around, we need somebody's help. To fly an airplane, we need somebody's help. After we sit in an airplane, there are instructions how to sit, how to put a seat belt. For every small thing in life, we need help. It's only when we come to spiritual life that we think, main aur Bhagwan, beech mein koi nahi. So this is one famous spiritual guru or one spiritual leader. He did not call himself a guru. He said, actually, you know what? No one needs a guru. You find your own path. And in this way, he created millions of followers and became their guru. So he's claiming you don't need a guru. But if you don't need a guru, why are you speaking that? You don't need a guru, is it not? So I don't need to tell you, you don't need a guru. Anyways, you don't need a guru and you are moving around alone without any guidance, without any direction. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you guidance. You know what? You don't need guidance. You don't need a guru. Basically, what I'm saying is, you don't need him as a guru, you don't need him as a guru, but you very well need me as your guru. Humko guru zarur banana aap. Aapko guru ki zarurat nahi, matlab hum kya bol rahe hain? Aur kisi ki zarurat nahi hai, meri sharan mein aao. This is how people trick. This is how people play word games. But here we are not here to discuss word games. We are here to discuss what is good for us. Anukulyasya sankalpo and pratikulyasya varjanam. How to make the right decisions and accept what is good for us and how to give up something that is not good for us. So, one doctor, he showed me, this is a proposed rate chart. Now if you go to a doctor's clinic, this is what you will see. What is that? So, he is saying, if a patient goes to a doctor, he is saying, my diagnosis and my treatment, only 500 rupees. Your differential diagnosis. Differential diagnosis means, half of this treatment, half of that treatment. Then he is saying the rates will increase. Now, most patients today, they feel that they already know everything about everything. So, they check on Google also. And sometimes they will advise a doctor, what is good for me, what is actually wrong. So he's saying, your Google doubts, if you add to them, then have 1,500 rupees. your diagnosis and my treatment. So at least he's accepting the treatment of the doctor, but diagnosis is already done. Doctor sahab, mujhe na yahan pe dukh raha hai aur thoda sa yahan bhi dukh raha hai, to kidney mein thodi sujan. Bola, are x-ray to hua hi nahi kuch, you know, I have not even inspected you. He's only giving his diagnosis. So your diagnosis, but at least my treatment, 2000 rupees, and your diagnosis and your treatment. So the patient will come to the doctor and say, mujhe ye hua hai, aur wo peeli sheeshi hai na, that yellow medicine that you have and that blue medicine you have, you need to give me 2 doses of that yellow medicine in the morning and 3 doses in the afternoon. So he's only speaking everything. So the doctor is saying, very good, but if you want that from me, 5000 rupees only. Basically discouraging. He's discouraging the patient. You think you are wise, you think you know everything, but you do not know. One of our brahmacharis, senior brahmacharis, he was telling me, he had some knee pain. So then the doctor advised him to get an x-ray. So he got that film and now he's going to that consultant who will read that. So he first went to a technician, got his sheet made, a film made, and now he's going to the consultant. So the consultant said, wait 2 minutes, I'll just get some water and come back. So he's sitting there, waiting for the consultant to come back. And till the time the consultant came back, there was, you know, there is that backlit screen on which you put that x-ray film and you can see that, yes? So he said, my knee, my film, I think I can save some money here. So till the time he came, he just experimented, he put it on that backlit screen and he was trying to look at his own knee x-ray. And then he saw some gap somewhere. So when the doctor came, he said, doctor sab dekho, ye hai na idhar, ye hai na problem, is it not? The doctor said, you are holding that x-ray film upside down. So he got humbled. He understood. Tadvidhi pranipatena. It's not as easy as it seems. You know? So imagine your gross body, your knee, your joint, and you don't even understand how it looks actually on the x-ray film. Can you imagine so many doubts in our heart? What is right? What is wrong? At this stage in my life, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? How will we ever know what is right and what is wrong? We need help. We need guidance. We need somebody to guide us. So, who needs a guru? One time His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, he was with Srila Prabhupada in Juhu. And some guests had come to meet. So that day, a prominent film star had come. And he and his wife had come to offer some respects to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, bring a mango. I want to give them some prasad. So this Westerner devotee, another Westerner devotee. In West, they don't have mangoes. They have apples, they have pears, avocado, fruits like that. The mango is a very tropical fruit. So they don't know how to cut a mango. So he was trying to cut a mango and, you know, all the juice was dripping. And the whole floor became dirty. So the lady, the wife of that film star, she said, wait a minute, you don't cut a mango like this. Give it to me. So there was another mango there. What she did was, she cut into 2 parts, leaving aside the seed. And now that semicircle that is there, she just put 2 lines horizontal and 2 lines vertical. So now you have cubes of the pulp. And then she just pressed from bottom. And it just came up. And all those cubes, they just came up. And with a spoon, she, you know, she just took them off. And on a plate, you had nice, beautiful, without any juice dropping, going below, you had nice mango cubes. And she said, this is how you cut a mango. And then Prabhupada took a philosophical lesson out of it. Prabhupada said, just see, even how to eat a mango, you need a guru. So we need some guidance for our life, yes? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would give an example. He would say, sometimes there are people who get very nice nutritious diet. They have nice food stuff to eat at the right time, cooked in the right way, very tasty. But it does not nourish their body. So Hindi mein bolte hain, are ye itna khate hain, lekin inke sharir ko nahi lagta hai. Suna hai kabhi aise? Yes? So he would give an example that in most of these cases what happens is there are worms in the stomach. And because of worms in the stomach, even though you're eating very nice, nutritious food, it does not nourish the body. The worms end up eating it. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, similarly in this world, there are many people who have a lot of wealth, who have a lot of facilities for enjoyment, very intelligent, very smart. But what happens is, the background of all these facilities is, I want to enjoy. So he says, that's like a worm. So as long as we have the tendency to enjoy this world, whose world this is? Some are saying Krishna's. Did I create it? Did you create it? Before we were born, was this nation existing? Was the sea existing? Was the sun existing? Was the ground existing? Was the wind existing? Were the clouds? Everything was existing, is it not? The mango trees were also existing. So we didn't create it. And after we leave, is it that everything is going to get destroyed? No. Just we are here only for 50-60 years, and in that 50-60 years, we put our flag wherever we go and say, this property belongs to me, this property belongs to me. Before we came, it existed. After we go, it's going to exist. Probably it will be much better if we leave. There is one Harvard biologist, his name is E.O. Wilson. So this E.O. Wilson, he conducted big research for 25 years. And he checked what is the impact on this ecosystem of this planet. The sun, the plants, the animals eat plants, the smaller animals are eaten by the bigger animals and so on. That's how the world is functioning. So he did a research and he found out if any one of these species, it's a chain, is it not? If any one of these species vanishes from the earth, what will happen? So he checked out all the species, like the birds are eaten by animals and the smaller animals are eaten by the bigger animals and so on. You understand it. So he found out in a big long cycle, jivo, jivasya, jivanam, one living entity is food for another living entity. He found out if any of those living entities, if any of the species disappears from the planet, the whole ecosystem will collapse. Just like, you know, the snake eats the rat. And then the snake is eaten by the, or harmed by the mongoose. So, uska khana wo hai. Abhi samjho, aapne saap, sare saapo ko maar diya. You kill all the snakes. So, what happens? The mongooses starve. And some, you know, smaller pests that are eaten by the snakes, they will flourish. So, that's what he said. Any species you take off the planet, the whole ecosystem will collapse. Then he made one interesting remark. He said, there's only one species. If it disappears from the planet will actually flourish. You know, I don't need to mention it is. He says, the kind of damage that we have done to the world's ecosystem in the last 150 years, since the Industrial Revolution, that's what they call it. We have released so much carbon dioxide in this. You know, water is polluted. Food is polluted, air is polluted, our thoughts are polluted, our words are polluted, everything is polluted. There is something called as light pollution also. Have you seen these tall buildings and just next to those tall buildings there are these big billboards? So there is something called as light pollution that people who stay in these buildings and you know just outside their window, there is this big billboard on which there are these strong flashlights for the whole world to see that advertisement. It works for them. What about the people whose homes are next to these billboards? It is said it causes light pollution. You can't get sleep because the light is so much. It's almost like daytime. So he was saying, in the last 150 years, we have done so much damage to this world. If the, all the humans disappear from this world, allow the earth to recuperate. Usko just chhod do. It will take 2000 years for the earth to become healthy again. And after that, no problem. That's our situation. So why has this whole thing happened? Thirst, more enjoyment. More, 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 more. So an American scientist says, the rate at which we are just consuming, consuming and consuming and throwing. For eating, we need throw away plastic spoons. For plates, we need plastic plates or styrofoam plates, worse. He says, in another 20 years, we need 7 more planets to maintain the ecosystem. 7 aur prithvi grah chahiye humko, jis tarah se hum log consume kar rahe hain. So this whole thing is summarized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in this one phrase, trying to lord it over material nature. trying to abuse material nature for our own benefit. Whereas it does not belong to us. So if this does not belong to us, it should be used for somebody to whom it belongs. It belongs to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord created it. The Supreme Lord is running the whole show. We are spoiling the whole show. So the root cause of all problems is we want to enjoy, we do not want to serve. So who needs a guru? That's the title. Who needs a guru? The person who understands this. Any intelligent person who understands, I'm trashing the whole planet. I'm trashing my city. I'm trashing my own home. I'm trashing my own, you know, my whole family. Sometimes I speak in an abusive way. I destroy their consciousness. I'm totally whimsical in my behavior. I'm totally unpredictable. Nobody in my home can predict what I will do and how I will react in a particular situation. If you have heard these words, then you must accept this advice. This whole thing is coming from a tendency to enjoy, grab as much as you can. And to the extent we have this grabbing mentality, to that extent, even though we have good knowledge, even though we may be having good academic knowledge, we may have a good upbringing in terms of our culture from our mother and father, it will never affect us. Why? Finally, all that knowledge comes down to how can I use this knowledge to grab more? How can I use my good connections to grab more? So who needs a guru who understands this fact? Till the time I have this grabbing mentality, till the time I have this enjoying mentality, I am creating mess for myself and I am creating mess for the greater society at large. So who needs a guru? That person who is willing to accept some kind of training to let go of this enjoying mentality and to accept service mentality. So one of the first directions, one of the first help from a spiritual master is to teach us in a very practical way how serving God, abiding by the orders of God, following the orders of God, how it is very nice, how it is very helpful, how it is beneficial for us, how it is beneficial for everyone else. So if this person about whom we were discussing, if he had some spiritual guide, would not this spiritual guide have detected that your tolerance is going in a direction which is impractical? You don't tolerate nonsense. You tolerate when, you know, you are having some wrong thoughts. But if somebody is abusing you, if somebody is destroying you, if somebody is disturbing you, you don't tolerate that. That's not tolerance. That is foolishness. That's turning a blind eye. Somebody is doing some nonsense to somebody and you said tolerance. That's not tolerance. Either you are incapable of rectifying the situation or you don't want to rectify the situation. So what exactly is good tolerance? What exactly is bad tolerance? What exactly is good humility? What exactly is bad humility? How much sugar is good? How much sugar is bad? How much chili is good? How much chili is bad? It can never come by experience. And if you want to let it come by experience, it takes a lot of time. A lot of time is wasted. Short life. What is the short normal span of human life nowadays? Something like 60, 65. When I am looking at this audience that is here, most of you are beyond 25 and 30. So I can say in a very fair way, most of the people sitting in this room right now have passed half of our lives. If you have not yet started off in your spiritual life, it is high time. Aadhi zindagi chali gayi hai. Galtiyan karte karte, ya fir galtiyon ko jhaakte jhaakte, trying to justify them, trying to cover them up, and not learnt any lessons. So all of us who feel, yes, I agree, there's a lot of things to be rectified in my life and I don't know where to start. We need to start with somebody who is a devotee, who is a reader of Gita, who has understood the Gita, and we need to take guidance from such a person. In the Mangala Arati, we sing Guruvashtakam. The first shloka says, Samsara Davanal. Davanal means a forest fire. So this example is given by our acharyas. Who set the forest fire? Did anybody go to the forest and set it on fire? No. It just starts by itself. Two grass, weeds, sometimes they brush against each other, the temperature is warm, fire starts. And once the fire starts, the hares, the rabbits, the deer, the snakes, all kinds of animals, they just get trapped helplessly. So this example is given, who started this material world? Who started all the troubles here? No, it started on its own. But what we can do is, we can take shelter of the spiritual master, Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghanatvam. That the spiritual master, guru, is like a cloud. So when there is a forest fire, you cannot bring fire tenders. You cannot bring buckets of water. You cannot connect a pipe to a river. All you need is a rain cloud. And when a rain cloud comes above that forest fire and showers it, that is when the forest fire will get extinguished. So Krishna is compared to an infinite ocean. But that infinite ocean is a long distance away from the forest. Pani bahut hai sagar mein, lekin sagar kahan hai? Bahut dur hai. Aag to yahan pe lagi hai, zameen pe lagi hai. What will help is that there is a cloud that draws water. Praptasya kalyana guna arnavasya. There is a great auspicious ocean, Krishna. But the fire is somewhere far away from the ocean. So the cloud takes water from the ocean, moves itself to a place where there is fire and drops water there. So who is the spiritual master? Spiritual master is somebody who has direct access to Krishna, who has a lot of easy access to Krishna. He takes the words of Krishna, he takes the guidance of Krishna and applies it in our situation, helps us in our situation. Customized advice, customized help. In Sanskrit there are two words, Brahman and Kripan. Brahman means broad-minded. Brahman does not mean born in a particular family. Brahma janati iti Brahman. Somebody who knows spirituality is called a Brahman. And Kripan means kanjus. So anybody who does not know God, in Sanskrit is called a kanjus. Toh bole, kanjus to nahi hu main. I give in charity. I give to this goshala. I give to the temple also. How am I a kanjus person? How am I a miserly person? Who is a miser? Miser is a person who has a lot of money, who has a lot of facilities, but he does not spend it properly. So the implication here, the indication is, all of us have this very nicely constructed human form of life. This human body is very good. We have very high superior intelligence. With this superior intelligence, we have conquered the sky. We are swimming under the water. And we have raised skyscrapers on ground. What not we have done. We have even conquered outer space also. Just based on this tiny brain. So this human brain is considered to be very special. And if we do not utilize this human brain to actually solve the problems of life, then it is said, anybody who is doing that is a kripana, is a miserly person. So any one of us who has not yet asked questions, what question should we ask? The question we should ask is, my dear Prabhu, my dear Master, why am I suffering in these situations? My knowledge tells me this is the solution to this problem and I actually implement that solution. But after I implement that solution, neither the solution works, neither I get an alternative solution. So many times we have made mistakes and there is that false hope. Tomorrow I will get happiness. Tomorrow I will get happiness. Tomorrow I will get happiness. One person, you know, who was in the palliative care means caring for those who are just about to die. So this doctor, he specializes in palliative care. And he interviewed thousands of patients who are suffering from terminal diseases. And after talking to them, he came up with five regrets that most dying people have. So after having led a so-called successful life, a life that will evoke envy in their neighbors, but on the deathbed, 50 years jeevan jiye hain, aur abhi jab marne wale hain, they ask, do you want to share something? Most of these people, apparently successful, they shared five regrets. You know what are those regrets? I didn't visit Singapore. No, it's not a regret. One of the regrets was, I kept pleasing or trying to please people all my life and I never did what I like to do. हमेशा दूसरों को क्या अच्छा लगेगा इसी तरह से हम जीवन जीते गए और खुद को क्या अच्छा लगता है वो जीवन कभी जिए ही नहीं. This is one of the prominent regrets of majority of the people who are about to die, just before they are dying. None of those regrets are related to eating. None of those regrets are related to traveling. None of those regrets are related to some kind of costly, posh, designer clothes that they could not wear. It's all about, you know, I did not lead a sincere, realistic, honest life. सच्चाई में जीवन हमें जिया नहीं, हमेशा एक झूठा चेहरा बना के, झूठा एक, यू नो, आई मेड ए फॉल्स आइडेंटिटी ऑफ माई सेल्फ एंड आई लेड माई होल लाइफ. दिस इज द रिग्रेट ऑफ मोस्ट डाइंग पीपल. इट्स टाइम टू चेंज. सो वॉट इज गुड फॉर अस? कृष्णा इज देयर टू टीच अस एंड कृष्णा रिप्रेजेंटेटिव आर ऑल्सो देयर टू टीच अस. सो आई विल गिव यू फोर स्टेजेस ऑफ अ ह्यूमन बीइंग. What are those? The lowest stage is an immoral atheist. Higher than that is a moral atheist. Higher than that is an immoral theist. And highest is a moral theist. Anybody here who does not understand the word immoral? Immoral means they live by social rules. Your childhood they taught us, don't steal, don't speak a lie, respect elders, all this morality. हमेशा लोगों के साथ अच्छा रहो, बड़ों के पैर छुओ, ऑल दोस थिंग्स आर मोरालिटी. एंड व्हाट इज थीस्ट? थीस्ट मींस वन हु हैज फेथ इन गॉड, वन हु बिलीव्स इन द एग्जिस्टेंस ऑफ गॉड. यस. सो हु नीड्स ए गुरु इज अ पर्सन हु हैज अ क्वेश्चन, हाउ कैन एन इमोरल पर्सन बी हायर देन अ मॉरल पर्सन? डिड यू नोटिस दिस स्लाइड? सो समबडी हु रियली आस्क्स दिस क्वेश्चन, हाउ कैन एन इमोरल पर्सन be higher than a moral person? I have put on the slide, an immoral theist is much better than a moral atheist. सामाजिक नियमों को पालन करने वाला नास्तिक एक व्यक्ति है और कभी कभी सामाजिक नियमों को तोड़ने वाला एक आस्तिक है. और हम आपके सामने ऐसा बोल रहे हैं, सामाजिक नियमों को तोड़ने वाला आस्तिक सामाजिक नियमों को पालन करने वाले नास्तिक से बेहतर है. Would anybody like to offer an explanation? Why am I doing this? Is it wrong? Is it right? Prabhupada would give a simple story. There were four robbers. And these four robbers, together, they robbed a bank. So they had some money. 10 lakh rupees they had in their sack. So bhage udhar se, they went inside to some far away place, far away from all the policemen, everything. And now they're sitting. And the person who has that bag, one person is carrying and others are protecting him with guns. So they go into their hideout and they sit down. And one of the robbers says, chalo abhi acche se imandari se ye paisa baatenge hum log. Let's honestly divide this money amongst each one of us. So Prabhupada would say, the source of all that money is dishonesty. It's a robbery. So inherently it's a robbery, and within that they are trying to introduce honesty. Morals. So why am I calling an atheist to be lower than a theist? Because the highest morality is to accept that this whole world was not created by me, is not meant for my enjoyment, and is meant for my service. That is the highest morality. You follow all the temporary rules of this world, which keep on changing. Sometimes, you know, the tax rules are till a particular slab, you pay 20% tax. And then the next finance minister comes, it changes. Sometimes on some goods, you know, you have to pay tax. On some goods, it's a duty free. So all these rules in this world, they keep changing. And people end up following all those rules, but end up neglecting the original rule. Who is the person who's feeding me? Not the farmer. The farmer is helping it grow. Who is the person who's feeding me? Not the trader. The trader just transports it. Who is the person who's feeding me? It is the Supreme Lord. So, you have people who follow all social rules but neglect the original morality, that is, they don't accept the existence of God. That's why an immoral theist is much better than a moral atheist. At least he's accepting the existence of God, and because he's accepting the existence of God, in due course of time, as he reads books, as he associates with those others who are believers of God, he will upgrade from an immoral theist to a moral theist. So somebody who is confused with this, he needs a guru. If people are happy with their so-called morality of this world, they don't need a guru. But then, hum log to achha chale, samay pe tax bharte hain, samay pe sab karte hain, bado ke pair chhute hain, lekin bhog vritti gayi nahi abhi tak. This is for me, that is for me, this is for me, that is for me. What is the identity of a guru? Here on the slide, I have a picture of a child. On one side, the child is catching the hands of mother, and on one side, hands of father. Why I put this slide is, many times in marital relationships, marriage relationships, because of, you know, the different natures, different upbringing of the mother and father before they got married to each other, it causes a lot of conflicts. Before a child is born, there are so many conflicts. I know so many young couples, and somehow, you know, they keep noticing the differences more than the similarities. And in such situations, what has worked in many number of cases is when there is a child. The child is very amazing in drawing affection out of the fighting parents. So sometimes what happens is they want to fight with each other, they want to argue with each other, but they look at the child and they say, not in front of the child. Does not look good to fight in front of the child. So the child works as a unifying factor. Similarly, who is the spiritual master? What is the identity of a spiritual master? On one side, you have the Supreme Lord, God. And on one side is the living entity, you and me. And we have fought with the Supreme Lord. And we are away from the Supreme Lord. Abhi kaise mitayenge jhagda? So, jabhi pati patni mein jhagda hota hai, you know, the wife won't go and say sorry. And the husband will never. Male ego is more stronger than the female ego. So, sorry to kabhi nikalega hi nahi. So, somebody else has to intervene. Somebody else has to go and say, well, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And then, you know, join them. Similarly, just like in this picture, the child will bring the fighting parents together. The spiritual master acts like something like similar to a child. And with one hand, he catches the hand of the Supreme Lord. He is dear to the Supreme Lord. He is living his life as per the instructions of the Supreme Lord. His life is an example of what is to be done, what is not to be done. On one side, he reaches out to you and me. The living entities who have fought with the Supreme Lord. Ek zamane mein the hum. We were with the Supreme Lord. We fought with him. We denied him. We said, I don't want to look at your face. So Krishna said, okay, no problem. Try it out. Here we are. So now who will bring us together? Who will bring the living entity and connect him to God? That is the spiritual master. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was mentioning, after this life he said to some of his disciples, I'll take you to the spiritual world. And I'll introduce you to Krishna. And I'll make you join each other's hands. And then Prabhupada said something which is very amazing. Prabhupada said, and then I will go away from there. I'll leave you and Krishna alone. Sochi, can you think about this? This Supreme Lord Krishna, who is inaccessible to so many demigods, at the beginning of the Dwapar Yuga, or at the beginning of the end of the Dwapar Yuga, it is mentioned, the earth was tormented by Kamsa, Jarasandha, all kinds of evil people. And Bhumi Devi took the shape of a cow and went to the demigods. Devatao ke paas gai, humko madad kijiye. The demigod said, we can't deal. So the demigods went to Brahmaji. Brahmaji said, even I don't know what is the answer to all this. Let's go and pray to Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu stays on a planet which has a milk ocean. And on the shore of that milk ocean, Brahmaji, all the devatas and Bhumi Devi, they are sitting there and they are all praying to Vishnu. And where is Lord Vishnu? He's somewhere there in the ocean. He's not visible. Darshan nahi milenge unke. Keval malum hai ki Kshir Sagar mein rehte hain Bhagwan. And then when they prayed, Lord Vishnu gave a message in the heart of Lord Brahma, very soon I will appear in the Yadu dynasty. If you want to help me, you can also appear in the Yadu dynasty to help me. So why I'm mentioning to you this is Bhumi Devi, they're all the devatas and Lord Brahma, they're all big, Lord Shiva is also there, Indra is there, Chandra is there, Surya is there. Lord Vishnu did not give darshan to them, he just gave a message in the heart to Lord Brahma. So that Vishnu who is inaccessible to the devatas, Prabhupada is saying, I will take you to the spiritual world, I'll make your hands join the hands of Lord Krishna, and then I will go away from there. That is the power of somebody who loves Krishna. That is the identity of the spiritual master. He has immense ability to connect lost souls. Jhagda kiya hua hai na, humne Bhagwan se, to humko pakad pakad ke Bhagwan ke saath haath milayenge. This is the identity of the Guru. So how come he has this special position? Actually, the Supreme Lord himself has a mission. The Supreme Lord is looking at the earth, is looking at the material world and saying, he's my son. She is my daughter. All these are my sons and daughters. And look at them. What kind of a situation they have come into. Away from me. Unhappy. Trying to search for happiness. So it is his mission that all of us should go back to the spiritual world. He comes himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya. He sends his representatives repeatedly. Please go and teach them how to come back to me. So when somebody willfully, by choice, accepts the mission of the Supreme Lord, it attracts the heart of the Supreme Lord. See, Krishna is infinite. So he can take such a big mission. It's a heavy mission to attract every single living entity back home, back to Godhead. Solve all your problems for all of eternity. No more problems. No more birth, no more old age, no more disease, no more death. Big thing. Who can handle such a big responsibility? Only Krishna. So here is Krishna who is infinite and he is accepting the responsibility. All these sons and daughters, I will take them back home to my original home. They fought with me, but somehow I will convince them. But what do? When Krishna comes here, we have complaints against him. When Lord Ramchandra comes here, we have complaints against him. Is it not? So some of us who have a lot of love for the Lord, they say, my dear Krishna, it seems even this mission is becoming very difficult for you. Can I help you? So when a tiny jiva accepts to share the responsibility, to share the mission of the infinite Supreme Lord, it's a big step. साधारण नहीं है ये, बहुत असाधारण बात है ये. छोटा सा जीवात्मा है, वो भगवान को बोलता है, जो चीज आपको संभव नहीं है, वो हम आपको मदद करेंगे. Is it arrogance? Krishna, when he went to Duryodhan, he said, my dear Duryodhan, why don't you give Indraprastha to them? You keep the whole planet. This is before the war. Just give Indraprastha. He said, no Indraprastha. Indraprastha belongs to me. So Krishna said, okay, no problem. At least give them 5 villages. They can rule those 5 villages. What did Duryodhan say? No 5 villages, no Indraprastha, no planet, no nothing. Not even land for a pin to stand on. Ek sui ki utni bhi zameen nahi denge. So it seems the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is running the whole existence, including the spiritual world, including the material world, but when he comes face to face with one jivatma's adamance, Hindi mein usko bolte zid, Marathi madhe manta tela hatta. It seems Krishna cannot go beyond it. It's not that he is incapable of doing it, it's just against his nature. He will not force. He will not take out his Sudarshan Chakra and say, damn you, I'll crush you right now. You disobey me? So it seems Krishna wants all of us to be happy and he wants all of us to lead a good life and he wants all of us to go back to the spiritual world. But there are certain very amazing jivatmas, tiny jivatmas here who say, I will not obey you. I will not listen to you. Another person in the Mahabharata is Karna. So before the war, Krishna goes to Karna and says, you know what? You are one of the Pandavas. Not only you are one of the Pandavas, you are the eldest Pandav. So I can assure you something. In this war, the Pandavas will win. And when the Pandavas win, right now the situation is, the eldest Pandav is Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir will sit on the throne. I assure you, if you come over to this side and they are going to win the war, don't worry about it. I will make sure that you sit on the throne. क्यों? क्योंकि आप युधिष्ठिर से बड़े हैं. So whole life the 5 Pandavas are leading a life of dharma, leading a life of difficulty. And Krishna is telling to Karna, just by you making one small decision that you listen to me, that you defect, you come over to the Pandava side, I assure you, you will sit on the throne, not Yudhishthir. Big offer. What did Karna do? Karna said, no, I can't do that. So there are instances where the Supreme Lord wants to fulfill his mission of attracting all of us to the spiritual world. He falls flat on his face. He cannot do it. So in such situation, seeing this tiff, seeing this deadlock, nahi badal raha hai wo. So then another living entity says, I know you are infinite. I know you could not do something. Can I offer my tiny help? I am also a jivatma, but I have an infinite desire to help you. I have infinite desire to support you and serve you. And that tiny jivatma's adamance, you know, that arrogance, I will not obey you. You know, Krishna saw that. Krishna knows. He has, this tiny jivatma has unlimited potential to defy me. And so when another tiny jivatma shows an infinite desire to obey Krishna, to serve Krishna, to accept the mission of Krishna, can you imagine how much it overwhelms Krishna? Krishna must be so happy when one tiny jivatma tells Krishna, my dear Krishna, you want all of these to come back home? And it's difficult for you, is it not? People find faults with you also. Can I offer my help? How much Krishna will be conquered by such a small expression of sincere help from a tiny jivatma? So many times in the Bhagavatam and in the Gita, Lord Krishna is called Bhagavan. And many times it is explained, what is Bhagavan? There are six opulences. If anybody possesses this, then he is called Bhagavan. But many times in the Puranas, even in the Bhagavatam, in one place, Garud, who is very dear devotee of Krishna, is called Bhagavan. So, ek taraf Bhagavan ko Bhagavan bol rahe. Asimit, one of the names of Krishna is Aprameya. Aprameya means that who cannot be measured. So on one side is Aprameya Krishna, who cannot be measured. He is called Bhagavan. On one side, Narad Muni is sometimes called Bhagavan. On one side, Garuda is sometimes called Bhagavan. You know why? Not because they are infinite, but because they have an infinite desire to keep on serving the Lord, keep on carrying out the mission of the Lord, no matter what. And because they have that sincere desire, sometimes Krishna blesses them in an amazing way. In one of the bhajans that glorifies the six Goswamis, how are they glorified, you know? They're called Dhira Adhira Jana Priyau Priya Karo. What line means is, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are Jivatmas. They are not Vishnu Tattva. They are Jiva Tattva. But they are so amazing, they are attractive to Dhira and Adhira both. Dhira means the gentleman. And Adhira means those who are always disturbed by desires and temptations. Basically means the not so gentlemanly men. So the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord are described by mentioning these pure devotees are dear not only to the gentlemen. These pure devotees are also attractive to the non-gentlemen. What about Krishna? Krishna is very dear to the gentlemen, but there are people who hate Krishna. There are people who hate Lord Ramchandra. They cannot agree with some of the things that he did. They cannot accept some of the things that he did. So, in one sense, because of the purity and the sincerity of the desire to accept the mission of the Lord, the tiny jivatma, in one aspect, becomes greater than the infinite Supreme Lord. That is the identity of Guru. That is the identity of spiritual master. So, if you read 4.34, it starts by saying that, you know, this material world is full of problems. And the secret of success of solving these problems is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, to get the pleasure of the spiritual master, somehow or other please him. Why? He is acting as that person who can take our hand, who has the hand of Krishna, and who can connect these two hands. That is his power. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave another simple definition of who is a guru. This is our definition of guru. Lord Chaitanya gave an example. Is sannyasi a guru? Is a Brahman a guru? What if somebody is not a sannyasi? What if somebody is not in a Brahman family? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, is saying, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kene Noe Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hoye. A simple translation of the shloka is, you do not become a guru just by being born in a Brahman family. You do not become a guru by taking part in the sannyas ashram. Neither are you disqualified just by your birth in a low family. Then who is a guru? Jai Krishna, anybody and everybody who knows the science of Krishna, who understands Krishna as he is, not by interpretation. Any one of you, irrespective of gender, irrespective of caste, irrespective of your ashram, irrespective of your age, irrespective sometimes of your species, all of us can be representatives of the spiritual master. All that matters is our sincere desire. My dear Krishna, can I help you in your mission? I want to serve you in your mission. Usually all of us have our own missions. Every one of us has our own mission and we keep working hard for our own missions. We're working very hard. Struggle for survival it is called. Desire for more and more enjoyment it is called. So the expert spiritual master, his expertise is, in between all our endeavors, he requests us. You know, you're spending so much energy for struggle for survival. You're spending so much energy for more and more enjoyment. A little of that energy, would you give to Krishna? Mahaprasad milega. If you give a donation to Krishna, you get 80G. Income tax benefits you get. So sounds lucrative, sounds good. So in this way, in a very soft way, the spiritual master and the representatives of Krishna help us divert a little bit of our energy that is usually spent for sense gratification in the direction of serving Krishna. Give your money to Krishna. Give your energy to Krishna. Give something to Krishna. And in this way, he helps us build a ladder every time we give something to Krishna, in kind or in energy, whatever. It helps us build, you know, there is a ladder and there are steps on a ladder. So every time we give something to Krishna on the request of a spiritual master, on the request of some bona fide guide, it's like building one by one the steps of a ladder, and one day we can climb on that ladder on our way to freedom, on our way beyond birth, old age, disease and death. But it happens in a very subtle way. It happens in a very unknowing way. We don't even realize we are getting free. So many people who were victims of habits like smoking, had addictions, and you know, they just came to the temple. I know so many people who came for a yatra. You know, small groups keep organizing yatras, and during those yatras, there's no time for having a smoke. The schedule is so busy, you get up in the morning, you go somewhere, have a class there, there's a long kirtan, prasad, and after, you barely have energy to stand, you know, you want to take rest. And then evening again you are going somewhere. So if you actually honestly take part in the whole schedule of a yatra, it's exhausting. So I know devotees who had some addictions and who fought with those addictions, and they could not overcome those addictions, and they went on a yatra. One day went, second, third, fourth, 5 days happened. After fifth day on the return journey, I'm asking them, so how was your yatra? What was your realization of the yatra? And they say, well, I loved the yatra very much, but my first advantage of the yatra is, throughout the yatra, I did not remember any of my addictions. There's no time. So how can some habit, which is not giveable, you cannot give up that habit in an ordinary course of time, in association with devotees, in a holy dham, hearing Hari Katha, doing Hari Kirtan, having Hari Prasad, very easily people have given up bad habits. That's the expertise of Vaishnavas. That's the expertise of Guru. That's the expertise of representatives. Slowly, unconsciously, they took you away from the grip of your bad habits. And they did it in a very pleasurable way. Parama Karuna Pahu Duijana Nitai Gaurachandra Sabha Avatara Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. The process of spiritual advancement given to us by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. What are they saying? Chant and dance in kirtan, hear Harikatha, and have a nice Krishna Prasadam feast. Simple way, but it works in a very magical, it works in a very amazing way. So types of a guru, we'll quickly go through this. The first type of a guru is called Vartma Pradarshak Guru. Vartma means path. So somebody who points to us the path. I know so many devotees, I ask them, how did you come to the temple? They said, one of my friends told me, there is a good temple here, nice prasadam is available on Sunday afternoon, you go there. Then I asked them, did he come? He said, they didn't come. It happens. So he is called a Vartma Pradarsha Guru. You know, he just shows the direction. He sometimes might lead you, he sometimes might come with you, he sometimes might not come. Does not matter, but he shows you the right path. One of our sannyasis, His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj, he was a spiritual seeker. And even before he met Srila Prabhupada, he had one spiritual guide. So the spiritual guide one day told him, actually you are supposed to be a disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. What about him? He never became a disciple. He had some things that stopped him. But he told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you should go and join the Hare Krishna movement. They are the ones who are giving the right knowledge. The second type is called Shiksha Guru. Shiksha means, you know, they advise, they give guidance. They are the ones who will tell you in your day-to-day matters. So they may not be very highly elevated, but they know some practical understanding. So if you need some guidance on a day-to-day basis, they are the ones to help. For ISKCON devotees, for all time to come, the most prominent Shiksha Guru is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, because all that we speak, all that is spoken is based on His books. The primary reference of all the knowledge that is being spoken in all ISKCON temples is Srila Prabhupada's books. So that's very important for us to know. And then comes the Diksha Guru. So Diksha Guru, who is Diksha Guru? Diksha Guru is somebody who is so pure that he can catch the hand of somebody and take him through all the obstacles of material life back home, back to Godhead. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. He's somebody who has that much purity. He has somebody who has that much experience. He has that much knowledge. He can lead not just by his words, but he can also lead by his own example. There is symmetry between what he speaks and what he does. And because there is symmetry between what he speaks and what he does, sometimes he does not even have to speak much. Just by his example, people learn a lot of things. So he is one link in the Guru-Shishya Parampara. Guru-Shishya Parampara means Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narad Muni, Narad Muni spoke to Vyasdeva and so on. Even in today's times, there is Guru-Shishya Parampara is there. So he is one prominent link in that Guru-Shishya Parampara. So when you take Diksha from a Diksha Guru, he catches you and joins you, connects you to the parampara. Before Diksha, depending on your surrender, you may or may not be connected to the parampara. You may be accepting guidance, but you may not be connected to the parampara. So Diksha Guru is somebody who is very special. Prabhupada uses the word confidential servitor. Hindi mein hum bolenge unko, ek bahut hi niji sevak hai wo Bhagwan ke. There are many people who are serving Krishna, but he is one of the most confidential servitors. Krishna has a lot of trust on him. Krishna has a lot of faith on him. Krishna gives him a lot of empowerment because he knows that power will not be abused, that power will not be misutilized. And then, what if somebody says, Prabhuji, I don't have a Vartama Pradarshak Guru, I don't have a Shiksha Guru, I don't know if I can get a Diksha Guru. Krishna assures in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, if you are staying in some desert and no preacher comes there, the Bhagavad Gita is not available there, if you are staying in Greenland where there is only ice, ice and ice, Krishna says, I as the Paramatma is dwelling in everyone's heart. If no other guru is available, Krishna accepts the responsibility of the guru on himself. The guru has accepted Krishna's mission on himself. So in the absence of the guru, the Krishna will accept the guru's mission on himself. Krishna says, I am Chaitya Guru. Chaitya comes from the root word Chetana. He is there as the guide in your heart. Tesham eva anukampartham aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavastho jnana deepena bhaswata. Krishna in 10.11, he says, I dwelling in the hearts of those, I light the lamp of knowledge and I destroy the darkness that is born out of ignorance. So if no one needs to get morose, Prabhuji, you know what? My home is 50 kilometers away from a temple. No preacher comes to me. Our place is a place where people from some another community are very strong and it's difficult for some Hindu preacher to come, for a Vaishnava preacher to come. If you are sincere, Krishna assures in the Gita, I will guide you from within. Only thing that is required is sincerity. So many times Srila Prabhupada would say, by the mercy of Krishna one gets a guru and by the mercy of guru we get Krishna. So if we have sincerity in our heart, I want to know more about Krishna. I want to become a nice person. I want to know what is the truth of life. Sanatana Goswami, when he meets Lord Chaitanya, he says, what are the questions that he asks? The questions that we ask is, sometimes when we meet our spiritual guides, how to get more money? Which is better job for me? What did Lord Chaitanya, what questions did he receive? Sanatana Goswami asked him, Ke Ami? Who am I? Well, you are Sanatana Goswami. He says, no, that's the title that I have in this world. But originally, who am I? Kene more jare tapatre. Who am I and why am I suffering here? I think I have the solution. I do it, but I still suffer. I get caught again and again. Iha nahi jani kemone hita hoy. And he says, if I don't know these two things, who am I and why am I suffering in this world? He says, no matter what I do, kemone hita hoy. How will I ever achieve benefit? How will I ever achieve auspiciousness in my life if I don't know the answer to these two questions? And then he says, let me tell you something. You might say, Lord Chaitanya, you might say, अरे आप तो बहुत पंडित हैं. At one point of time, you are the finance minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. Nawab Hussain Shah entrusted the whole kingdom to your two brothers, Roop Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And now you are asking me such a simple question. Who am I? Why am I suffering? You might reply saying that, no, you are a pandit. You know everything. So Sanatan Goswami in the second line, he says, Gramya Vyavahare Tae Pandit Kohe Mani. Gramya Vyavahare means in worldly dealings. Paisa kaha jada milega? आराम कहां ज्यादा मिलेगा, छुट्टी कौन से कंपनी में ज्यादा मिलती है, प्रमोशन कैसे मिलेगा, ऑल दिस वर्ल्डली डीलिंग्स. ग्राम्य व्यवहारताए पंडित कोहे मानी. इन वर्ल्डली डीलिंग्स पीपल कॉल मी एन एक्सपर्ट, पीपल कॉल मी ए पंडित. बट ही सेज, व्हाट काइंड ऑफ ए पंडित आई एम? ही सेज, आपणार हिता हित किछु ही न जानी. आई नो एवरीथिंग अबाउट दिस वर्ल्ड, बट हाउ टू एक्चुअली बिकम हैप्पी, हाउ टू एक्चुअली बिकम ऑस्पिशियस, how to invite auspiciousness in my life. Says, apanara hita hita kichhu hi na jani. I don't know that. That I want from you. You please advise me for that. These are the kind of questions that is asked to a spiritual guide. So in English there are two words. One is called efficiency and one is called effectiveness. So many times we are seeking efficient answers. देखो ये मेरा सवाल है, जल्दी से जल्दी जवाब दे दो. डोंट गिव मी अ लॉन्ग क्लास, डोंट गिव मी अ लॉन्ग लेक्चर. फटाफट बोलो क्या करना है, हाउ टू गेट हैप्पी. ईट दिस, ड्रिंक दिस, वेयर दिस, हैव ए होम इन दिस पार्ट ऑफ द सिटी एंड यू विल बी हैप्पी. एंड वी डू दैट. 30 इयर्स ऑफ अवर लाइफ वी आर यू नो पेइंग EMIs एंड एट द एंड ऑफ दैट फाइनली somebody रिलेटेड टू अवर फैमिली से, यू नो योर ओन सन, योर ओन डॉटर से, पापा मुझे यहां नहीं रहना है, मुझे उधर रहना है. Why? Because now the fashionable part of the fashionable suburb of the city has changed. 30 years people are paying EMIs to just have one home. And after all that, finally there's no happiness. You go to one restaurant which is a fashionable restaurant. You eat there, the food is not good. You went there to eat good food, but the food is not good. It's just a fashion statement that we went to this restaurant. You wear some clothes, you buy from some mall. Life goes in that. So we want efficient solutions, and spiritual guides do not give us efficient solutions. They don't give us quick fix solutions. They don't say, aisa kar lo, ho jayega. They give us effective solutions. Effective solutions means that which will work, that which will solve our problems in the long run. But the problem is, we do not have so much patience today. Most probably what I have seen is, many times in programs I have seen, the person who speaks gives a speech, he presents his thoughts, and then he asks for questions. And I have seen people who are in the audience raise their hands and ask a question for 5 whole minutes. Have you seen that anytime? Long questions. Have you heard that? Because, you know, it's all jumbled up here. They cannot even frame their own doubts, their own questions in a single coherent line. They speak something like, I mean, and the answer, the question is such a long question. And after they ask such a long question, they will not permit the person who is speaking to give a long answer. So as the person starts speaking the answer, they say, they immediately have hand raised for the next question. See, you asked a question for 5 minutes, and then the person who is speaking, who gave the main presentation, he allowed you to speak, is it not? At least allow, out of decency, the speaker to present his answer. And if it does not satisfy you, obviously you can again ask. That facility is always there. But I have seen this, that you know, my question is more important than your answer. That kind of feeling is there. So basically, he's not hungry for the answer. He's not really eager for the answer. He just wants to show to everyone else in the audience, look how intelligent I am. Look how I asked a question that took such a long time to speak. And you know the answer, if he's answering it long, then look how I caught him again. And I said, sir, thoda jaldi batao. So that's how we feel we are more important than the speaker. That's how we feel we are more intelligent than the speaker. Our questions are not to seek answers. Our questions are many times just to show off, I am a great thinker. I am somebody who was pondering on your talk. So that's where we have a lot of problems. characteristics of a true guru. We spoke about this. He's a confidential servitor of the Supreme Lord. He accepts responsibility on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Krishna's assurance is power of attorney. Any lawyers here? Anybody who has studied law here? So this power of attorney is some special concept which I'd like to explain to you. Sometimes what happens is there is somebody who is an MD of a company, managing director. And there is a very important meeting in which the opinion of the MD needs to be presented. But sometimes because of some situations what happens is the person who is supposed to give his opinion cannot be physically present for that meeting. You know, there is some emergency, so he has to go somewhere else. But the meeting cannot be postponed. There are so many shareholders who have come for that meeting. So what happens is he trusts somebody. One of his close people he trusts. So he writes a legal document which is called the power of attorney. And he says, for that meeting, because I am not physically present, I give the full right to represent me to this person. He is not an MD. He is an ordinary person. But by giving that power of attorney document to him, he is saying, for all practical purposes, for all decision making, whatever he speaks, he is representing me. His mouth is my mouth. Only for that meeting. Before that meeting and after that meeting, he is nobody. So power of attorney bolte usko. So similarly, when some tiny jivatma, he takes upon himself the mission of Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna gives him the power of attorney. He says, whatever he says is right. So Srila Prabhupada said, anybody who chants 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day, follows the four regulative principles, I assure you, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Now, logically, in South India, there are some communities who say, Prabhuji, our gurus, in that they're Vaishnavas. They say, in our community, what is said is, Vaishnav gurus are telling them, just to get moksha, just to get freedom from birth, old age, disease and death, it takes hundreds of lifetimes of proper Vaishnav life. And on one side, there is Srila Prabhupada who says, one lifetime, 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day without fail and following four regulative principles, I will take you back home, back to Godhead. Logically, it contradicts. But if you understand it from this concept, power of attorney. Here is somebody who has taken the mission of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna says, just because you are so sincere in accepting my mission, I give you the power of attorney. Whatever you speak is right. Whatever you do, I accept it. It can be done. It happens in this world. Why cannot it happen in Krishna's world? So qualities of a true disciple. We discussed about guru. We'll just quickly discuss about disciple. Disciple means discipline. Without discipline, there is no meaning to the word disciple. So this is from 1.5.24 purport. Prabhupada is writing, without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master. And without doing so, no one is able to go back home, back to Godhead. Bhagavad Dham jana hai, to guru ki agya palan karni hogi. Aur guru ki agya agar palan karni hai, to humko thodi discipline hona zaruri hai. Agyakari hona zaruri hai. Uske bina hum ja nahi sakte. So three qualities of a sincere disciple is pranipat, pariprashna and seva. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4.34, we'll quickly chant the shloka. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinah. We'll quickly discuss this to three points. First is pranipat. So pranipat means first there has to be some surrender. In a challenging spirit, if we go to some knowledgeable person, then we cannot learn from him. So first qualifying thing is you submit yourself. In this purport, there is one line that is given. The second line, can somebody read? In this verse, this is Prabhupada writing, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Very nice line. So, kabhi kabhi, adhyatmik pravachan mein jab koi jate hain, to unko lagta hai, keval abhi sunna hai. This person will speak and the more I keep quiet and the more I listen, I think I will benefit. Now, here it is mentioned, blind following is condemned. Why? Because Krishna says, you should ask questions. Pari prashna, ask proper questions. And then somebody will say, okay, blind following is condemned. Krishna is requesting us to ask questions. Can I ask strange questions? Can I ask absurd questions? Like one person in IIT, he asked a question. Can you show me a round square? If something is round, it's round, and something is square, it's square. You know, you're basically mixing it up, round square. Nobody can make a round square. It does not make sense. So this is a logical impossibility. It's not an existential impossibility. Ek cheez hai jo ho hi nahi sakti hai. Aur dusra hai ki bolne mein hi aap kuch galat bol rahe. Like I am a, can you show me a female man? It's not you're just basically mixing up words. It's wordplay. Female means somebody who's not a man. And then you are saying, you know, you know, this is my male daughter. It's wordplay. It's a logical impossibility. So sometimes people use this. So they're called absurd inquiries. So Krishna is saying in this shloka, do not make absurd inquiries and also do not promote. He's not promoting blind following. So what should we do? We should ask honest inquiries. We should honestly, you said this, this and this, but I have a question. How to understand this, this and this? This is a very good inquiry. So in the next line also Prabhupada is writing, these are all extracts from this purport, which is a very important shloka for us. It says, not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. So if somebody is just very happy about asking questions to somebody, that's only 33%. Krishna is saying a good disciple has three qualities. He has submission, he asks questions and gets clarifications, and third is he does seva, he does service. Why? Because service kind of melts the heart of the teacher. When you serve somebody, it melts the heart and he becomes more and more eager to share more and more knowledge with you. I'll tell you one short story and then we'll quickly end. Recently we were in Puri and then I was just thinking about what is so special about Puri for ISKCON devotees. So it is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, from the age of 4 and 5, roughly around that time, he was having a lot of attraction to Lord Jagannath. And one day he went to his father and said, I want to have my own Rath Yatra. And father said, at this age to have a Rath Yatra, from where will we get money? So they went to the carpenter. And the carpenter said, the cost for building a Rath Yatra is this much. And his father could not afford. Not a very rich man. So as they are returning, Abhay, that's his childhood name, he's crying. He's saying, I want a Rath Yatra, but father is saying we cannot afford. So on the way, an old Bengali lady heard the crying of Abhay. And she said, what happened? She said, he wants a Rath Yatra. Rath chahiye inko chota sa. Bula, are, humare paas hai. Very magically, this old lady had a broken Rath, but good enough for Abhay in his childhood days. So then the father had that Rath repaired. And Abhay, father got paint also, and Abhay himself hand painted that Rath at the age of 4 and 5. Just imagine his love for Lord Jagannath. He's painting a Rath Yatra. He put 16 columns just like the traditional Rath in Puri. Chota sa Rath hai, usme 16 column dale, vaise hi banta hai wo. Upar canopy tha, wo vaise hi dala. It's all there in Prabhupada Lilamrit. And he celebrated at the age of 5 and 6 a 7-day festival of Rath Yatra. He took the Rath and he told all the ladies in the neighborhood, Lord Jagannath is going to come. You should please prepare some bhoga and we will offer to Lord Jagannath. And they did it. So big festival. Sankirtan is going on and the Rath is being pulled. And there was a very traditional Bengali song, Ki Koro Rai Kamalini, which says, my dear Radharani, what are you doing? The treasure of your heart is being stolen away. Jagannath is being stolen away. What are you doing? Aren't you going to do anything about it? So Abhay, in his childhood days, he even sang the traditional Bengali song just to make the Rath Yatra complete. It is mentioned from that age till the age of 24. Prabhupada was born in 1896. The first time he went to Jagannath Puri is in 1920. So 24 years of his life, which means 20 years after he did his first Rath Yatra, every year he is doing Rath Yatra. He has a lot of love for Lord Jagannath, but he cannot afford. So Prabhupada said to his disciples later, every day, regularly, I would regularly go to the railway station and find out when is the next train going to Jagannath Puri, when is the next train going to Vrindavan. And he said, in those days, the fare of the train was 4 or 5 rupees. Calcutta to Puri and Calcutta to Vrindavan. 4 or 5 rupees. But young Abhay, for 20 years, he could not go to Puri. No money. इतने अमीर नहीं थे. सो इन 1920 ही अर्न्ड हिज डिप्लोमा ग्रेजुएशन एंड एज सून एज द एग्जाम गॉट ओवर द फर्स्ट थिंग अभय डिड वॉज ही वेंट टू पुरी एंड ही स्पेंड 3 or 4 days इन पुरी. फर्स्ट टाइम ही सीइंग द रियल ओरिजिनल डीटी ऑफ लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ. सो हाउ मच लव लॉर्ड ही हैज फॉर लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ. सो दिस प्रभुपाद when he went to the west, he stayed for some time in New York. What is the first center he opened after New York? San Francisco. And in San Francisco, what did he do? He saw these people need some engagement. So the first thing that he did in San Francisco is hold a Jagannath Rath Yatra. How did he do it? Not a traditional Rath Yatra like his age 4. He had a flat bed truck. And on that truck, he put 3 DTs, huge DTs of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. And all the hippies, the youngsters of San Francisco, they were singing some songs. And this was the first Rath Yatra in the Western world. So the first thing that Prabhupada did in the West is Rath Yatra. The first thing he did at the age of 4 is Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra, Rath Yatra. Jo college se chutkara mila, first thing he did is went to Puri to see Lord Jagannath. So how much love Srila Prabhupada has for Lord Jagannath? This Srila Prabhupada, when he came back to Puri, bringing his Western disciples, the Puri Pandas, they said, just because these Vaishnavas have Western bodies, they are not born in a Hindu family, we will not allow them to enter the Jagannath temple. What did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada represented his devotees. He said, these are Western bodied people. They might have had bad habits in the past. Right now, I have told them, chant 16 rounds every day, they do that. I have told them to follow the 4 regulative principles, they do that. I told them to distribute my books, they do that. I tell them to do Sankirtan on the streets, the Hindus are not doing. Kabhi sharam aati hai Hindu logo ko Nagar Sankirtan karne mein. I have seen so many Hindus, just look when the Nagar Sankirtan is going. But these Westerners, they are ready to follow me. They are Vaishnavas from every angle. Please do not see them from their bodily consideration. See their consciousness, they have given up all their bad habits, they are traveling all over the world just because I have told them to do. Please give them entry into the Puri temple. And the Pandas of the Jagannath Puri temple, they said, no, no, we will not allow. What did Srila Prabhupada do? Srila Prabhupada said, if you do not allow my disciples to enter the Jagannath Puri temple, I will not enter the Jagannath Puri temple. Did you know this? That Prabhupada who celebrated the first Rath Yatra at the age of 4, that Prabhupada would regularly go to the railway station and ask, when is the next train going to Puri? The first thing he did in the Western world was to construct a Rath Yatra and arrange a Rath Yatra. And he took it to all over the world. Melbourne, Paris, London, Montreal, all prominent cities there is Rath Yatra. But when it came to the original temple, the Puri temple, just because this one thing, you do not allow entry to my disciples, just because of that, I will also not take darshan. This is the love of a spiritual master for his disciples. So when you do pranipat, when there is submission to the spiritual master, you melt the heart of the spiritual master. You conquer the heart of the spiritual master. So I was just thinking when I was in Puri, how much Prabhupada sacrificed his love for Jagannath. He took Jagannath in his heart and distributed Jagannath all over the world. But just because they did not allow his own disciples, out of his love and affection for his sincere disciples, trying their best to serve Prabhupada, he said, I will also not enter. This is called, you know, the conquering nature of love. So just like we discussed how a Jivatma conquers Krishna, you and me, with all our bad habits, with all our bad aspirations, with all our bad background, if we just become sincere in our pranipat to our spiritual master, trying our best, not his best. He cannot try my best. I cannot try his best. I can try my best. You can try your best. All we need to do is try our limited best in trying to serve our spiritual master. It can conquer the heart of our spiritual master. This is one beautiful shloka. I'll end with this. In the third canto, it is described, Anu vratanam cha shishyanam, putranam cha dvijottama, anaprishtam api bruyu, guravo dina vatsala. So in this shloka, what is mentioned is, the spiritual master, he is so conquered by snigdha. When the disciples are always in a very favorable mood, he says, anaprishtam, jo saval puche hi nahi hai. The questions not asked by the disciples, by his followers and by his sons are answered by the guru in anticipation. Maybe you have this question and they will answer. And maybe you will also think that this is the question and they will answer. That's how our sincerity can conquer the hearts of great souls. So we'll end with this. Components of spiritual progress is, the first component is the guru's exalted status. What is the status of the spiritual master? Second is the guru's vani association. The third is disciple's submission. The fourth is disciple's faith and conviction. The fifth is guru's vapu association. Because guru's vapu is very sweet. The guru's vapu is very attractive. But one limitation of the guru's vapu is, it is only for a certain number of years. It is only for a fixed time. Whereas guru's vani association is eternal. There is no limitation on that. And then guru's friendship. So these are some factors that will help us advance in spiritual life. We'll just talk about Srila Prabhupada's special position. Srila Prabhupada, one time in his disappearance day ceremony, some of Prabhupada's god brothers had come. And we know how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati one time told Srila Prabhupada, "You are an educated young man, why don't you preach this message in the English speaking world?" So some disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he glorified Srila Prabhupada like this, that our Srila Prabhupada, he took the message of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his spiritual master, seriously. So one of the god brothers of Srila Prabhupada, he got up and said, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he spoke that line to many disciples. ऐसा नहीं कि ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद जी को ही बोला, बहुत सारे अन्य शिष्यों को भी बोला, यू आर एन एजुकेटेड यंग मैन, वाई डोंट यू प्रीच इन इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज. सो इट्स नॉट ग्रेट, इट्स नॉट समथिंग ग्रेट दैट योर प्रभुपाद डिड समथिंग. उनके गुरु बंधु ऐसा बोल सकते हैं ना. सो देन व्हाट हैपेंड इज, वन ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद डिसाइपल्स, ही गॉट अप एंड ही सेड, यस, श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती स्पोक दिस लाइन टू मेनी ऑफ हिज डिसाइपल्स, बट इट इज अवर श्रील प्रभुपाद हु टुक इट सीरियसली. दैट वन लाइन दैट हिज गुरु महाराज टोल्ड हिम इन 1922, he kept it in his heart till 1965. 43 years, one line of your spiritual master you keep in your heart and keep fanning the flame and actually do it. So he is an ideal disciple, and because he is an ideal disciple, he is an ideal guru. Somebody who follows properly can actually give guidance to others. And it is predicted by Nityanand Prabhu that one time, one Senapati Bhakta will come. So that is Srila Prabhupada. And then extraordinary mercy, that he did not look at the past. Anybody came to his ashram and he said, Swamiji, Prabhupada, I am willing to follow what you tell me. And he just neglected all the past. All the past is erased. So that is Srila Prabhupada's special position. We can never be enough thankful to him. So topics we covered, first we talked about need of a guru. Who has the need of a guru? Who understands, till the time I have this bhoga vritti, till the time I have this enjoying tendency, I create a mess for me and I create a mess for this whole world. And he wants to develop a service tendency. Then we talked about the identity of a guru. You remember the slide, identity of a guru? There's this child who was holding the hands of the mother and the father. Similarly, the guru is somebody who connects the living entity who has fought with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Then we talked about types of guru: Vartma Pradarshak, Shiksha, Diksha and Chaitya Guru. And the characteristics of a true guru and the characteristics of a true disciple. And then Srila Prabhupada's special position. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava ki jai. So actually I was told to speak this class at a very short notice. I was not supposed to be the speaker of this class. So if there were any mistakes, if I sounded very instructive in my class, please forgive me. I just wanted to share a few things. Gita Jayanti is coming up. Gita Jayanti is 19th of December. So Gita Jayanti is the day on which Lord Krishna spoke to Arjun. And there are so many things in the Bhagavad Gita that can help us. So I thought this is also one thing in the Gita. Many people feel, when they pick up the Gita, they feel, abhi main Bhagwan se directly sununga. Krishna abhi mujhe bol rahe Gita. No, Krishna tells Arjun, please listen to a self-realized soul. Tad viddhi pranipatena. So we decided to speak on this shloka. There is an important announcement. To spread Krishna consciousness movement through the periodical means a monthly magazine, Back to Godhead, the devotees of Mumbai are encouraged to share Krishna consciousness with their neighbors and relatives. We have started this mission 2 years ago. And at present we have 104 different volunteers throughout Bombay who help in spreading the magazine. It's a very nice 32-page color magazine with nice relevant contemporary articles of today's times. Very good beginning for any of your neighbors, any of your family members. If they go away from the Gita, unko magazine de sakte hain. Magazine is very attractive. So if anyone of you are interested, they have put up a stall downstairs. You can contact Balram Anand Prabhu, Yashoda Kumar Prabhu or Kunj Bihari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Now we'll have Kirtan and after that there is Mahaprasadam for everyone. Thank you much. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
So we'd like to thank Nandula Prabhu by chanting loudly Hari Bol 3 times.